All right, we're going to move on to item six, which is the presentation of the annual disability retirement report. This is a presentation item. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so just jumping into the first page. First graph is a report of our disability applications for the year. You can see that for 2024, we had a total of 30. Initially, what stuck out to me is it does look like we're trending up, so I actually went back and looked at the 2 years prior to COVID, and they were at 25 for 2019 and 26 for 2018. So it does look like we're actually kind of essentially returning to sort of a normal range for us, which is somewhere between roughly 25 and 30 per year. And those 2 years for 20 and 21 were kind of a blip downward. I know that probably the part that obviously sticks out is the number 10 in that graph there that shows the 10 applications under 10 years of service. So we did break that out in the bottom, and I would say first, the devil is kind of in the details there. I looked a little bit closer at those cases and do have a little bit more detail. And I also want to point out that these are actually applications that we've accepted, not applications that are granted. So they're in various portions of being processed at this point. So if you look at the next graph on the bottom, it does say that we have, the 10 of them that are under 10 years of service. This includes some cases like one of the cancer presumptions, which was, a member with 2.5 years of service with us, but also a lot of reciprocal service with another agency. So it's kind of a little misleading, I guess. We have a couple that are at, basically only one was actually under 5 years. All the rest were pushing something like 8, 9.5 plus. And of those, I could tell you that, three of them, including one of the PTSDs in there is already a non-grant coming back to us from our medical advisor. So 3 out of those 10, again, are already non-grants.
That's helpful, by the way, to have that little look behind the numbers.
Yeah.
It's super helpful.
So next page, and again, please feel free to stop me if you have any other questions. These other two, I see them as sort of trying to identify whether or not we've got trends with employers or counties. And looking at them, I think they kind of, they stay relatively stable. It's hard to say that, one more or one less for an employer or a county department necessarily represents a trend unless we see it kind of consistently, or there's a big blip from, 0 to 4 or 5 to 9, something like that. I don't think you really see that in these two charts here this year for us. This one's, again, the application's broken down by disability type. And again, a little bit of, devil's a little bit in the details here because it says we've got 10 presumptions. That's true. But again, I think this was expected because we have more presumptions as of 2024. Quite a bit more were introduced. Again, a little bit of numbers there. They're kind of split. We had, of those 10, there's 2 that are heart. There was 1 that was cancer, 2 that are low back, and then there are 6 that are PTSD. But again, kind of breaking those out at this point, we have 3 that are already returned as non-grants out of those 6. So roughly a 50% rate of medical advisor giving us a recommended non-grant.
And those non-grants are medical advisor non-grants, not board action.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Elise to go ahead and go through the final pages here.
Thank you. So I'm just moving on to Exhibit 5, which is all the disability applications accepted, but further broken down by injury type for the different departments. So You'll see a little bit of a slight increase in the presumption cases. That is, again, like Ryan had mentioned, there were some new presumptions that took effect last year, so some of those being low back presumptions, which traditionally would have just been a musculoskeletal injury type, and now, depending on the member's department, it's coupled with a presumption as well. And same thing with the PTSD, any psychiatric cases, if depending on the member's employment, that may also be a presumption. Otherwise, I don't necessarily see any other trends that are spiking one way or another on this page in particular. And then Exhibit 5 on continued. These are the applications broken down specifically for the county by injury type. Again, nothing too spectacular to report on this page in particular. I think the sheriffs, it looks like they're trending down slightly, but again, they've had for musculoskeletal injuries over the last 5 years, they had kind of a high rate. They had in 10 in 2021, but then back down to 6-8 last year, or excuse me, 8 in 23, and then 6 in 2024. And then in Exhibit 6, this is specifically for the Sheriff's Department and then for all the fire departments combined. You may or may not have noticed there is a new section here for the PSP type. So PSP are the presumptions. So those are broken down in each section here. So for the sheriff, over the last 4 years, or excuse me, 5 years, we've accepted 44 applications and granted 30, so about a 68% grant rate. These are further broken down, as you see below. The injury types are broken out by psychiatric, musculoskeletal, and then PSP, which for the sheriffs are including any PTSD, cancer, heart, COVID, and low back. So that at the bottom of the sheriff's section specifically, you can see the presumption types that are broken out there, just to give you a little bit more insight, because if you just look at presumption at PSP, it looks like there's a lot. And so some of it, I feel like it's helpful to have a bit of a breakdown of what actually, you know, what is in there. So as you can see, low back makes up the majority of those particular cases.
Yes.
Which it's likely that those, you know, those cases without the presumption, depending on what the circumstances were, would have been work-related anyways.
Yeah, I think, by the way, the breakdown, I'm sure everybody feels the same way, is super helpful.
Good.
It really puts context and color on what could just be a top line number, and if you don't really know it, then it doesn't mean anything.
Absolutely, especially with the new presumptions coming in last year, everything looks slightly inflated. So I think, as you said, I think it's definitely helpful to have the breakdown there. And then the same for the fire applications over the last 5 years, we've accepted 41. We're at approximately a 73% grant rate for those. This is further broken down by title and injury type, and again, the presumption types. So there's PTSD, one cancer, four heart, and then the one COVID.
So I had a question, and I want to be careful how I ask this in the disability context here, because the board does adjudicate applications. But is there a way for you all to provide the board with the framework of the medical analysis on medical recommendations to not grant in presumption cases? And I'm particularly interested in PTSD because it's, without getting too granular, it's a difficult subject, right? It's not one that the legislature enacts laws and makes requirements, but there, you know, we've discussed generally the lack of rules and framework and understanding analytically on particularly on PTSD, how that application is to be judged. So I'm keenly interested in how medical advisors would make a judgment on a medical basis for non-grant, and whether and to what extent that analysis can be provided to us, not in a specific case, of course, because that would, I gather, be inappropriate. But in other words, the analytical framework that they made that determination within on a medical basis. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that, don't expect an answer today, just it's something I'd be interested in. I think we might be interested in, but I know I certainly would be. And if that's possible, I'd want to know it. And if it's not, I understand that. But that's something, I'm just throwing that out. Don't expect an answer today. It's just.
And you're specifically looking for the framework for non-grants, or those that have been non-grants, like kind of what went into that decision-making?
Yeah, actually, it works both ways. I'm interested in both. But what we have typically seen in the adjudicatory setting are recommendations to grant. Mm-hmm. So we've had a fair amount of exposure to medical evaluations and expert opinions on granting, but I'm struggling to remember one that we may have seen, this is not coming to mind, where I had a real clear picture of the medical framework analysis for a non-grant. And in other words, what were the factors? How were they weighed? It would be helpful to me.
And that's, so we're all jotting down. So we'll make sure. So we'll be able to look into that and give you the information. Yep. The non-grants that are coming from the medical advisor, you're not seeing at all.
Correct.
Except perhaps if they provided more medical evidence or went to hearing, and then we're getting to a point where you're seeing them. So it makes sense that you're a little bit in the dark about what that might look like, because you're not always seeing those cases.
Yeah, I mean, because we surely have a framework for how the medical reports have been framed in terms of the recommendation to grant, mm-hmm. right? So I would be just as interested in the framework and the analysis for the recommendations to not grant, mm-hmm. and most importantly, the why, right? Mm-hmm. And it may be that it turns out to be obvious and simple in those cases, and, you know, I'm not going to learn anything, but I don't know that.
We'll work on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I could add something to that, because we've actually been talking internally about how to bring some transparency to the non-grants, because we know that those don't come to the board and it really stays at a staff level. So at some point in the next few months, you'll start seeing on the agendas, we'll start bringing some type of metrics or information for you on what those non-grants are, so you have an idea of what's going on. And, you know, we're very early on and really what we would include in the packets and what you'd want to see. So if there's other, like if there's information like that, like the framework, or we can do a summary of the non-grants or things like that, we could include those in a packet as well. And that would give us an idea as we're working through this.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be helpful.
Scott? Okay.
Yes.
Jerry? This is over a five-year period. I understand that. So I'm always interested in trend lines. And I guess I'd like to focus in on one and ask if we could possibly get some additional information. I note that on Confire, the trend line, or there's a lack of a trend line. But if you look at PTSD, it's 57% of the types of PSP claims are PTSD claims.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested in knowing what a trend line might be on that over a five-year period, as opposed to just what it is now. And then, if possible, focusing even a little bit deeper, it'd be interesting to know what percentage of the workforce of Confire actually captains represent. It could be of any category, but it's saying that 13 of the applications are for captains. Do captains represent 13% of the Confire workforce, or is that more like 2% because they're in the command staff? So I'm interested in whether or not there's a disproportionate amount of those types of claims for captains. And again, a trend line.
Gotcha. Okay.
Can I add context to that? So every engine company you see out there, there's one firefighter, one engineer, one captain.
Okay.
Just to add some additional context, especially when you're talking about PTSD, a lot of times it's cumulative. So often you'll see those that have been on the job, you know, 15, 20, 30 years. I think one guy last year had 40 years of service of cumulative stress or calls that may or may not have contributed. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So, so lack of a better term, just wear and tear over the years.
It still doesn't, I take that, but it doesn't necessarily address whether or not we're seeing an increase over the last 5 years of a trend line to those.
Right.
Because it might be interesting to see that.
Yeah. And that's something that we can look into. I can tell you that the, when you look at the, specifically for the fire department, so the 14 presumptions there and the 8 PTSDs, I don't have an exact number, but I know that wasn't all just in 2024. So some of, because this is a five-year average, some of that 14, which it sounds like that's specific, those are the specifics that you're looking for. But I just wanted to make sure that it's clear. All of those 8 PTSD is not all from last year.
Some no, I understand.
Those, so I do know.
I'd just be interested in knowing over the five-year period whether or not that number has now ratcheted up noticeably.
Yes.
And also, what happens if there's an application that states multiple, let's just say PTSD, and since it's often stress, you know, there might be a cardiac issue involved. When the applicant states multiple reasons, do we assign a percentage or a primary cause, or will there be a double count in some cases?
There'll be a double count in some cases, and you'll see that in some of the numbers here. There is no apportionment with our retirements, like maybe with like workers' comp, where there's 15% to the shoulder, another 20% to the right knee. For us, it's, they're permanently disabled and unable to do their job, or they're not. And we don't have any apportionment, like, within our system or anything like that. But if they are permanently disabled because of both of those injuries, so, say, a PTSD and a heart issue, we would label them both. As you know, there are some times where people may list several injuries. But once we get all the medical records, it's determined that one, they're not necessarily permanently disabled from, and the other one they are, and at that point, that's what we're, if there's any presumptions that apply, then we would be looking at, like, what is the actual debilitating injury.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're good. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, and so on the last page, Exhibit 7, this is a somewhat new slide. I think we had one on last year's annual report. So this is just for all of those retirees who are under age 55. We start the review process. Our first step in that is reaching out to the employers and asking whether or not they would be willing to reinstate those members. So these are members that retired who are under age 55. So essentially we're asking if we were to send this member to a to go see a medical doctor to determine whether or not they were still permanently incapacitated from being able to perform their duties. If that came back and they were no longer disabled and their doctor said that they were fully capable of doing their job, would you, the employer, take them back? Would you reinstate them? So reaching out to the employer is our first step, because really we're wanting to find out from the employer if the member is able to come back, would you even accept them? And for everybody, I mean, when you look at the numbers here, we sent out 73 letters for 73 different members. All of them came back with not willing to reinstate. So the buck kind of stops there. We're not sending members out for medical examinations when the employer's already said they wouldn't take them back, even if the evaluation came back. You won't see this large number. So this time was a lot larger than the last report that we did. So these 73 people, we're reviewing them every 2 years. So I won't review these 73 people again for another 2 years. So next year, this report will still be listed on there, but there'll be a lot less people. So this will, you know, it might have people that retired in like 23. So it'll be a smaller number. And then so every other year, I think we'll be flip-flopping where we have a smaller group that we're reaching out to. And then the following year, a higher group, just based on the list of retirees that I looked into this year.
All right.
That is the end of my presentation, of our presentation. Do you have any other questions?
All right, well, thank you. Are there other questions? Not sure there are, but that was really helpful, and the insight behind some of those numbers is really valuable and helpful. Much appreciated.
Good.
Not seeing any other comments, so thank you.
Thank you.